your childhood in Buchanan, did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Buchanan? Not unlike the childhood of Danner, is that correct?
Well, there were certain definite differences. Danner is a little older than I am, and the whole political, the way my family worked was different because there were three siblings rather than two, and none of my siblings ever were in Vietnam, so that whole part of the book, in a way, is imagined. But the ambiance of the town and the way people lived and the details and the rituals certainly had the basis in my growing up years.
You must have probed the minds of a lot of the people you knew, relatives, friends, in order to get their lives long before your own birth in place, as you did in Machine Dreams.
Well, not really. People in West Virginia don't talk much. You can't pry details out of them. Most of it is invented. Some of the things are things that I heard growing up, sort of stories that were heard kind of third hand, and then I changed or embellished or imagined, reimagined, reinvented for the book.
Where did you go to school?
Where did I go to school? College, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
I went to West Virginia University, undergraduate, and a few years later I got a Master of Fine Arts at Iowa.
At West Virginia, did you study English?
Yeah, among other things.
What's that?
Among other things.
But that was your major?
Yeah, that's how I graduated as an English major.
Did you, were you bookish as a child?
Yes, I was. I was the kind of kid that read constantly. I didn't read great works of art, you know, but I read a lot.
Was your family bookish? Were there a lot of books around the house?
There were a lot of children's books because my mother was involved in education, primary education, elementary education.
A teacher?
She was a teacher for a while, but there weren't a lot of adult books.
Did you find yourself writing as a child?
I wrote as a child for a really brief time, and then I stopped until I was in high school. I was, in fact, a poet. Sort of through high school and college, and published some poetry, but my first book, which was a small press publication called Sweethearts, was a book of one-page fiction, some of which were in Black Tickets, my first book of stories. And I kind of went from writing poetry to writing prose poems, to writing very condensed fictions, to writing stories, to writing the novel.
You went to Iowa, you said?
Yes.
And you got your master's degree there. Was that part of the writing program at Iowa?
Yes.
That must have been a major influence on you. Who did you study with there?
Well, by the time I went to Iowa, I had already published my first book.
Sweethearts.
Yeah. And
Excuse me, just let's back up a second. Sweethearts, you had published prior to going to Iowa. This was I have it over here. That's a small press, limited edition.
Limited edition. Mm-hmm.
So did you do this yourself? Publish this yourself?
No, I had been publishing in magazines for 2 or 3 years, and the editor of one of the magazines had a small press. And he asked me for a manuscript, and that was how the book came about. It's actually still in print. I think it's in its fourth edition.
How was it distributed? Did they
through
this
small press.
Through the
small press distribution systems.
How does that work?
Well, there are a few small press distributors around the country, and they have accounts with specialized bookstores, literary bookstores, good bookstores.
Like the Phoenix here in, or the Gotham.
Right.
Yeah.
There are certain bookstores that carry a lot of small press publications, and that's how it was distributed.
So you arrived in Iowa armed with a copy of your first book.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it armed. I had it tucked away.
Who did you study with there?
Oh, a number of different people. I think the thing about Iowa that was good was that I really had never been exposed to other writers much, except through my reading. I hadn't really been with other people who were trying to write. And also, I had been working as a waitress and in child care situations and various kinds of menial jobs that take a great deal of energy. And at Iowa, I was able to just basically write for 2 years.
You didn't waitress at a Methodist conference center, did you?
Yes. That's one thing that both comes from first-hand experience.
Were they saying, did they really sing What an Amazing Grace to you as a farewell?
No.
That was a wonderful chapter in Machine Dreams. I like that a lot. How long were you at Iowa?
2 years. It's a two-year program.
All you had to do was write.
Well, you can elect to do other things if you want to, but the basic program is just writing workshops, just sitting around a table talking about writing and editing work, editing each other's work. And there were a number of people there when I was there. Ian McEwan, a young British writer who's very good. Frank Conroy. Donald Barthelmay was there. And a number of people just kind of passed through town, too. So it's good.
It must be a wonderful program. I was reading about Paul Ingold's international writing program there, where they bring some 45 foreign writers in for God knows how long, and even give them a month's vacation to travel around the country. It must be heavily endowed to have a program like that.
Well, I think it is, but I think that program, I think they're only there for a few months. I don't think it's even a whole year. I think it's like half a year.
What did you do when you left Iowa with your master's?
I took a teaching job for a year in California, up in the north woods.
Where Danner has moved toward the end of the book?
Well, it did sort of come from there, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think except I think she works in an office or something. But I taught there full time and then
came elementary back. School?
No, I taught as a college professor.
Oh. Well, I guess you would with the master's. What were you teaching, English, creative writing, or what?
I was teaching a writing course and two literature courses.
What school was that?
Humboldt State.
Then what happened?
Well, then I came back to Provincetown, to the Fine Arts Work Center in Provincetown, which runs a kind of artist community for 9 months of the year. And I got sort of ensconced there and worked on Machine Dreams.
Were you living full-time in Provincetown?
No, I just was there for the winter, basically. And then I moved again into Boston.
Why did you go to Boston?
I had gotten a fellowship at the Bunting Institute, which is an incredibly good fellowship program. It's affiliated with Harvard and Radcliffe. And it's an interdisciplinary program for women. They support women from all kinds of disciplines for a year. And I think out of about 40 people, there were two writers.
What are you doing now? Are you running full-time now, or are you also teaching?
I'm not teaching now. I'm raising a family and trying to find time to write, yeah.
How many children do you have?
I just have one, but he's only 3 months old, so it takes a good bit of time.
So it's like three. Yeah. Well, let's talk about Machine Dreams. When did you get the first idea for Machine Dreams, or was this something that developed from the sum total of your writing up to that point?
Well, it didn't come from any particular idea, because I think even though I write fiction, I still compose like a poet. I mean, I don't have plot outlines, and I don't know what I'm doing, basically. I really am led by the language itself, and the first line of the book is where the book started.
Did you actually start it with Jean's, I think it was Jean, right, the letter to the daughter?
Yeah, the reminiscence to a daughter. I had been working on a book that was much more contemporary. It was just purely about a person like me type of thing, and I had about 100 pages, and then I started working with this voice that belonged to the mother. And monologue is a form I've always been really interested in, the idea that a voice just starts telling a story. It's not a story that necessarily has a beginning, a middle, and an end. It works in a kind of circular fashion, almost like in a kind of oral tradition way. And this voice seemed so genuine and so different from anything I'd done before that I put away what I had up to that point and started over again with her voice. And that was the beginning of this book.
But you didn't stay with her voice. The book is unusual in that you go into third person, you use letters.
Yeah, I didn't want the book to belong to any one person in the family. I wanted it to kind of show different facets of each of them through each other's eyes. So the book certainly doesn't move in any kind of straightforward fashion.
Although you do go full circle in that at the end, you have the letters from Billy, which were still reminiscent, reminiscent of the letters written by Mitch, the war letters toward the beginning of the book. So in effect, you've gone almost full circle, haven't you?
Yeah, I wanted to give a sense of echoes from one generation to the other, how things are very different, but things also in some ways don't change.
It's interesting that you say that. I got the feeling as I read Machine Dreams that it would have been almost impossible to plot the book because it did trace the lives of this family, but there was no plot as such. You've taken a segment of life out of a number of people, and you've put it down. And lives don't really have plots, do they?
No, I've never really believed in plot, and I've never really been that interested in it. I think that the thing that I'm interested in getting across is consciousness and how it works and how it exists in time. And I think you can do interesting things with time in language. If you look at some of the short stories of Catherine Ann Porter, something like The Jilting of Granny Weatherall or The Grave, I think it's amazing the way words, which are just two-dimensional, completely flat sorts of symbols, can imply incredible shifts in time and the passage of large amounts of time.
Many of the chapters in Machine Dreams, I think, could hold up on their own as individual stories. And this, indeed, was your first novel. I would imagine after Machine Dreams, you find yourself feeling very comfortable as a novelist, in addition to your previous garb as a short story writer.
Feeling comfortable?
Mm-hmm. Comfortable. You must, I mean, the book read so well that you must feel very comfortable writing novels rather than the short stories.
I don't think a writer ever feels comfortable.
You don't?
I don't think so. Unless you're writing with a formula. I mean, if you're writing sort of formula books, perhaps you feel comfortable because you're certain that what you learned writing one book is going to help you writing the other. But I don't think that's really the case with literary work. Even though you may have written three novels, the next novel you tackle doesn't know that you wrote those three novels. And I think you always start from a place of absolute nothingness.
Well, where do you go? Well, it's been, I guess, a year since Machine Dreams came out in hardcover and just out now in paperback. Where do you go from here?
Oh, I really don't know. I have a sense of the quality of what I'd like to do. I have a sense of what I'd like, the kind of realm of feeling that I'd like to work in. But I think it probably takes some time for a sense of how to do that to come together.
A lot of writing is thinking about it well before the word is put to paper, isn't it?
No, I think so, yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with, I think a lot of it comes together without you even being aware of it.
You plan to mine your childhood in the future?
Do I plan to
mine your childhood in the future, in literary terms?
Well, I don't know. I think if you grow up in one place, the values and feel of that place are so ingrained that it's a kind of fertile ground for work. But I don't think that I'll ever do this type of book again. Next time, I think I'd like to do something quite different.
Well, I hope I'll be one of the first to read it, Jane Ann Phillips, when the new one comes out at some point in the future. I thank you very much for coming in. I know you mentioned that you were pretty tired. I hope the tea perked you up a little bit, and I wasn't too hard on you. And again, I think it's a wonderful book, and Thank you very much for coming in and talking to me.
Well, thank you.